Anybody have any thoughts about yesterday's Bible study? Anybody remember yesterday's Bible study? That wisdom and, well, we're talking about the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is what the Old Testament calls prophecy. And prophecy ended with John. Well, let's look at that. Go to Matthew 11.
Prophecy in the sense of foretelling the future.
You know, once Christ said it's finished, prophecy becomes irrelevant. One of those words. Just shut up. Nobody picking me this morning, or I'm going to come after you. I'm going to come after you if you pick on me. You hear that, Josanna?
Matthew what?
Matthew 11. What? What did you say, Ronnie? What did you say, Ronnie? What did you
say? Repeat what we were reading yesterday.
What did you say?
I said you're going to break forth on
me.
Break forth? No, that's not me. God's going to break forth on you. Matthew 11. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities, in their arenas, in their... If you have any concern about you or your family or your loved ones or anything, the way in which it's dealt with is if he's made an end of commanding you, then he will take care of your... whatever, your family, your needs. But the point is, he must make an end of commanding you, his disciple. Then he... So you're the... If you're using your concern for your responsibilities or loved ones or whatever, it's just garbage. Because it's your obedience that's most important. When he has made an end of commanding you, come back... And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto them, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do and which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised from the dead, or the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Again, that's a metaphor. That's from Isaiah. Forget that. He isn't, John the Baptist wasn't shaken by any external circumstances. What went you out to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went you out to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily, verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and all the law prophesied until John. What an incredible statement. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you, and you have not danced, and we have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. So from the standpoint of the Scriptures, remember, Elijah was the type of prophecy. Moses was the law. So when he appeared unto them, and they spake not of the glorious mysteries that they had seen, they didn't speak of all the glorious wonders, they spake only of his death, which was for to come in Jerusalem. That was the penultimate event in all of time and space. The major event will be the end. So what I'm saying to you is that the word of wisdom, that's the gift of the Spirit, we studied that. I'm not going to go through that again. The word of knowledge, which is a gift of the Spirit, is represented in the Old Testament as prophecy, in the New Testament as what John said, who is the greatest. The axe is laid to the root of the trees. It is finished. It is over for the human race. Do you understand this?
Yeah, he's not saying, he didn't say Messiah is coming or Messiah will come. He said Messiah is coming.
Amen. All right, let's go to Matt. Let's see if we can understand this a little better. Let's go to Revelation chapter something or other. Chapter 11. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court that is without the temple leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. Now, the reason this is so important, in the temple, which was this mystery, this type of the mystery, there was the court of Gentiles, which was huge. Then there was a court of women. Then there was a court of Israel. Then there were the court of the priests. Then there was the holy place. Then there was the Holy of Holies. That was the levels of apprehension. But now the court of Gentiles is no longer measured. It's gone. And it's gone back here 2,000 years ago. The only thing left is the bride and the whore. There's nothing neutral any longer. Gentiles were neutral. There's no Jew, no Greek, there's nothing left except that which came from God, because the type is over. You got this? I hope you do. As long as there was a court of Gentiles as a part of the temple, that meant that Gentiles still existed. There was an opportunity for Gentiles to come into the kingdom.
But your mind can remain undecided.
Right. You can be in a state of searching, you can be a searcher, and you can be... But once the cross occurred and the veil was rent, then there are only two left. And it's all spiritual. There's only the Whore of Babylon and the Bride. The Whore of Babylon is now the human race, because she's sitting on the seven mountains. It isn't in Rome or the Catholic Church or any other idiotic thing. It's the seven high places of your mind where you gain your identity and strength and control, and she is sitting on that. And the court of Gentiles is no longer measured because it no longer exists. I hope you understand this.
Is that like Noah closing the door?
Yeah. Noah condemned the world by his obedience. As soon as the door was closed, there was no more opportunity. Well, the door closed. Now there's only vessels. Either vessels of wrath or vessels of mercy. The vessels of mercy are the ones that have eschewed cause and effect, have eschewed reward and punishment, have eschewed giving and looking at what is right and wrong in their own eyes, and live only in the moment of dependence. That's the vessel of mercy. And the greatest enemy of mercy is cause and effect. Now, the bride just lives in independence, seeing everything is finished, seeing she is perfect, seeing everything is all completed. Now, he's given us this word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, and they're typified here in the next verse. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if you read on, you'll find out these are the two that never died. There's only two in the Bible that never died. Enoch, who was translated, taken, and Elijah, who was taken. Because they typify the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. So that word, those typify the gifts of the Spirit that can cause you to stand in total confidence. Now, you can believe this, or you can believe the yo-yo theory, and God's moving up and down, and He's going to do all this and this. Do you know that I read a whole lot more about the Cerinthian heresy? Do you know what the essence of the Cerinthian heresy was? It wasn't that gain was godliness. That was only the part of it. The essence of the Cerinthian heresy was that God was going to return to earth and set His kingdom up in Jerusalem. It's every evangelical Christian in America. Just about. It's all of the stuff that's going on now, because evangelical Christianity has somewhere between 65 and 85 million people who are influencing American foreign policy for the Middle East. God, I hope you see this. Do you understand that all the word of wisdom has to do with is it has to have the predicate of your death, and all the word of knowledge has to do with it has to have the predicate of your death. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. Let's go read that again. Let's go to Matthew 3. That's why Jesus said, we just read it, all the law and all the prophets prophesied until John. Then he said over and over again, search the Scriptures. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you find principles of eternal life. But they are they which testify only of me, and you won't come unto me. Because you're using the Scriptures just like anybody, just like Muslims use the Quran, just like Jews use the Torah, just like the Hindus use the Vedas, just in Bhagavad Gita's and all the other crap, they all use it for self-realization. So you use the writings, no matter what it is, for self-realization. You're trying to gain something for you. And some of you are still doing it. Makes me crazy. Okay, let's...
I've got this little picture in my mind, I got to say, about you talked a while ago about the whore of Babylon or...
Mercy.
And it's like there's a line drawn in the sand. And some people would like to stand on the line, you know, still thinking they've got, they can go this way or that. Comes a point where that can't happen anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's
one way or fall another.
It's like in legal terms when we were sued so often. There's a the legal term is there's a bright, clear line that divides freedom of religion from the secular world. But what's going on in the religious world is they're trying to keep that dividing, that bright, clear line. They're trying to blur it because they're using the bright, clear line to avoid the law that applies to the secular world. In other words, they are saying it's all right to commit fraud in the name of God. Now, we have J.C. Joyce, one of the premier religious freedom attorney, saying that. He said, we even have the right to commit fraud if we're doing the work of God. Now, so the bright, clear line then is blurred, or are they trying to extend the light to things that are clearly illegal? Well, in this, there is a bright, and it's the longer and the more you see the difference between soul and spirit, there is a light that is the brighter than the sun that can cause you to, you will see the difference between soul and spirit. And you don't want anything to do with soul because that is empowered from the curse. You only want that which is to do with spirit. And it's. But let's see what John the Baptist said again. We read this yesterday, but just for the benefit of some of you who may have been thinking of something else while we were reading it, we will repeat it again. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Now we know exactly when he did that. John the Baptist, every year the Jews were baptized between Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, and Yom Kippur. And those were the 10 days that they had available for that were made available in the feast year for this baptism of repentance. And John just turned it upside down because they were just getting wet. And John came along and said, no, in order for you to be baptized into the kingdom of God, you must confess with your mouth and confess with your feet that you, even though you're a Jew and supposedly a child of the promise, you are not worthy to enter the kingdom of God. You had to cross the Jordan River to the other side testifying that you weren't worthy, that you were a child of the snake. And then, in the baptism, you left the other side and symbolically died and were buried in baptism, and you couldn't have water sprinkled on you. And there was no such thing as infant baptism and all this other crap. You went under the water and experienced the death and the weight of sin and the weight of the curse on you, and then you arose facing... Now you're facing west instead of east. And you face west because the idea is you understand that the sun has set on the kingdom. And it's finished. And all of the mysteries in the law reveal this. So... Yes. Well, I don't know what they did afterward, but he certainly was the only one that he was the first one that made him do that. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye." Now, again, you got to get this out of your mind. Repent doesn't mean I'm sorry. It means 10,000 times more than that. It means, yes, I'm sorry. Yes, but there is no hope for me. My only hope is death. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, instead of the kingdom that you have understood as to be the kingdom of heaven. The real one has arrived. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." That's why the only thing that a preacher can do, if he's a preacher, is to show you your death. All this crap that goes on in the name of God in terms of, well, this is how you do this, and this is how we can fix this, is just less than nothing. It's just leading people astray. And this same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, O sons of the snake, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees." That is the ultimate word of knowledge. That is the predicate for everything else. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. The human race is over. You know, I've said this so often it's become a cliche, but think of the implications. If you were of the Adamic race, came from Adam, and it says Jesus was the last Adam, then who are you? If that doesn't give you pause, I don't know what will. There's been a being, you've always been a vessel for deity. The problem is you've been a vessel for the instead of Christ, who has been masquerading as you for your entire life. You've never had an identity. You've never known who you were. You were led around with a ring, just like an animal's led around with a ring in his nose. It's time for that to go forever. And it's certified in your baptism, your death, your acceptance of burial. What? Somebody's wheels are turning.
I was just thinking, in the asking and answering of that question, it cannot be answered.
What question?
The question of who am I and why am I here, which is the searching and seeking of the Antichrist mind, you know, it has to come to this point of, you know, I'm made to contain God. If it doesn't go there, where the hell can it go?
Yeah, when you contain God, you just contain the God of this world. Oh, I can't believe that. That's not nice. Jesus called those that believed on him. He said, "You are of your father, the devil." I mean, that's... I called the human race sperm cells, and everybody got mad at me. At least... Anyway, and when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Oh, but I bring forth a good fruit every once in a while. No, you don't. No, you don't. Well, what about the good people? There are none. That's why Jesus said, don't even call him good. Well, I know some good people. No, you don't. You know people who, when it benefits them to do good, they will do good. And when it benefits them to do evil, they will do evil. There are no good people. Well, you're talking about my mama now. Yeah, I'm talking about your mama. And if I'm able, we'll give the Mother's Day speech Sunday. Which, some people got a little mad at me over that too. Huh?
Put it on the net.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floor and gather up his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan, unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so. Allow it, which has to be so, because for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. What a concept. That the God of the universe, the God who had created everything, had tabernacled in flesh and said, I now must be baptized to prefigure my death, to fulfill all righteousness. This was in the third year of his week, if you will. And he was baptized and he caused the oblation, the sacrifices of the temple, to be meaningless from that point forward. Once he was baptized, and he was baptized in the feast of Yom Kippur, and as the priests were sending the scapegoat into the wilderness to take away the sin, John looked at him and said, behold, the goat of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He didn't say, behold, the Lamb of God. There's never been a male sacrifice isn't, I mean, that's another story. But he fulfilled all righteousness on the Day of Atonement. Which isn't, I mean, you can't. And then you're worried about what you think about somebody, what you think about somebody's actions. You're worried about, remember, I'll repeat it again. 65 million years ago, God caused the star in the head of the coma to explode so that it would nova or be seen in Persia on the eighth day of the Feast of Hanukkah. So it would be the signal for the Magi, the wise men, to travel halfway across the known world to be there for his birth. He orchestrated everything so that his son would be born on the feast of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, and now so he would be baptized on the feast of Yom Kippur. And you're worried about some little crap in your life? Oh, but it's fun. It gives me identity. You can have positive or negative identity. It doesn't matter. As long as you're the subject of your sentence, you're a blithering idiot. Oh, but I'm a smart person. Compared to what? Oh, but I understand all this, Ollie, but what about that guy? That means you don't understand it at all.
That is so amazing that to fulfill righteousness, he dies. In baptism, I mean, symbolically, that's where it took place, to, on the cross, same thing. That fulfills righteousness.
Then he allowed him to be baptized. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway up out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son. This is my only Son. This is the one that you should pay attention to. This is the one you should heed. This alone, he alone is the one who has life. He alone is peace. He alone is the way. He alone came from eternity, so he alone can return to eternity." But his humility is so mind-blowingly great that he cannot and will not fight your efforts. The slightest effort. And the evidence that you have a slightest effort is overwhelming. You get upset when things don't go the way you think they should go. Hear you him, and him alone. Don't hear these voices that have been your counselors for all these years. Shut up the voices in your head. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I promise you, you say you understand this, but then you let the thoughts just run wild. There is no thought possible that you can have that can stand against "it is finished." Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Oh, but I like that thought. I'm going to keep it. Well, if you keep one thought, you raise the whole beast again. Now is the axe laid to the root of the trees. That is the ultimate word of knowledge. That is the ultimate gift of the Spirit. Any response?
Yeah, I'm just thinking. I don't know if you said something, but it's like something like that, you know, I finally know and understand what my purpose is to die.
Then he will fulfill his purpose in you.
I think I've known it, but it's like I've done everything that I could possibly think of to try it.
Just like the rest of us.
A lot of your time trying to kill yourself.
Anybody else?
Think of this idea that it's finished, it's all over. We have eyes to see it. There's so many scriptures like the prophets prophesied until John, the sun setting in the west.
Yeah. What, Michael? Your wheels are turning.
House.
No, this Michael first. We're going to go to the second Michael in a minute.
I'm wondering what that means, axe is laid to the...
Means the human race is dead.
So it's like the people, the human race is being cut down. They're all at the root. At
the axe is laid to the root. There's nothing that you can do or anyone else can do to please God. You can only continue the illusion of pleasing yourself. Does that make it clear?
Mm-hmm.